I do want to remind our Sunday school teachers that next Sunday we will not have Sunday school, being Christmas Eve. We'll just meet for our worship service, okay? Worship service at 10:50. I believe I discussed that with Bobby, and I think that's what he told me. So if he didn't, we're still not having it, okay? Because I've done let it out of my mouth, but I think that is the case. Okay, Ephesians 1:10. While you're turning, I'm going to begin reading with verse 8, Ephesians 1. Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, and having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, which were born in heaven and which are on the earth and even in him. We preached from this passage also the week before last. So we had a snow last week, did we not? Did you have a lot of snow at your house? And so we weren't able to gather. The message today is about the season of gatherings. The season of gatherings. Invitations are extended. There are neighborly meetings. There are friends. There are family. There's church. And people are gathering classes. We're going to be gathering today for a dinner, and everyone's invited. It's the season of gatherings. Some have come here today from afar. There they sit, right over there. We'll see if we can stay awake. But the text says that God is gathering all things in Christ. Like a hen would gather her children, Jesus once said. So God wants to love on his people. So God wants to love on his people. God is a gathering God. We might think here of a householder sitting down and looking at the accounts and checking to see how things are weighing out. We might think of God as the steward of the great household called heaven and earth. Didn't he create it all? You think you got a big job, something to look after and keep up with? He's got a big job. All creation. And he's looking at his accounts and seeing how they look. And the bank book looks bad. The moral economy of earth and earthlings doesn't look too good. We could have said that 2,000 years ago, 6,000 years ago. We certainly can say it today. Wouldn't you say? God's initial deposits, creator of all the earth and all around it. Man has been making withdrawals from that throughout man's history, all mankind. You've heard of deficit spending. Well, when earthlings, that's us, in our case, it's deficit sinning. In other words, there is sinning with no way to pay back. No way to pay it. And we wonder, how long can we tax God's mercies? But God is bringing the final tally to bear in Jesus Christ. And Christ is the sum of our account. He has more than paid our debt on Calvary. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. I hear you, young man. Good deal. I got something for you right after the service. Make sure you see me. It's an enthusiastic amen. But God has totaled everything up that we owe him. And to everybody who will come as a recipient, a poor recipient, empty in hands, nothing to offer God except our faith and our repentance. To them, God says He will pay in full through Jesus Christ. Amen? That's right. I'm calling for amens today. I don't always do that, but it's getting close to Christmas. The season of gatherings was manifested when Christ was born. God was beginning in the fullness of time, Paul said, in that full moment, that right moment. We talked about that. When the Word became flesh, and the Bible says in John 1, dwelt among us. The Word, being God, became flesh and dwelt in our midst through Jesus. God beginning to gather all things, beginning to bring it all back together. You too. Everything in heaven, and you know we think about heaven. We could say about heaven what God said when He created all things. He said, that's good. It's all good. Heaven is all good. In things in heaven and things in earth. And in earth there's much lacking. There we are with our sin. And so in earth there's much evil, you might say. And then God is gathering. There were signs of the gathering. A choir of angels. From where? From heaven. A new star sent forth to represent things in heaven. And there's a gathering of shepherds, the lowliest of the earth. These were the poor guys. They represented the common man. They represented earth. And there were magi, kings, who represented, you might say, the highest of all earthlings. But still earthlings and still just as much in need as the shepherds or as anyone else. From the heights of heaven to the baseness of earth, God's gathering all things to Himself. Look what it says in Luke chapter 2, verse 14. And I'm going to read it before you get there. Glory to God in the highest, and on peace and goodwill to men. Amen? God is gathering all things unto Himself through Jesus Christ. It's the season of gathering. But you know what? It's also the season of not much gathering. Wouldn't you say? We're kind of in the dead of winter. Some of you have been going out trying to cover your plants for a long time. And we built a snowman the other day. Big, great, big snowman. It was a good snowman building today, wasn't it? He's a big snowman. He's lasted a long time. He's still out there. But he's bending over. Every day he's bending more. The other day his head dropped off. The rest of him's trying to find the head, still there. It's cold. It's not a time for ingathering of the crops. That season has passed. But it's right now when we celebrate the great gatherer, our God. The great gathering of His people. The poorest and emptiest season of the year for us is the time we behold the fullness and the richness of the grace of God. Aren't you glad for the grace of God? Amen. Our lives are marked maybe by the chains of slavery to sin. Sin, I get it, hooks in you deep. Sin cuts to the heart of the soul. It's not the devil's fault. It's our own choice. We choose our way. The chains of slavery to sin. But behold, Jesus Christ, the great emancipator. He sets us free. Our lives are marked by heartache and emptiness apart from Him. It's the time we think of emptiness before Christ came. But behold the child. A merciful God shows now the masterpiece of His mercy is Jesus Christ. Our lives etched by defeat. His, through His child, the Christ child is the victor, Emmanuel. Ours might indicate a scattering from the Father's love, and a going away from the Father, going away from God's will. That's what sin is. That's what sin does. It carries us away. The Christ child comes as our kinsman. He's in our family. He's the firstborn of a lot of fruit, the Bible says. He is the Christ child. Our lives, apart from God, ebbing away toward death. The wages of sin is death. Behold the Christ child, the crown prince of the new creation, the Prince of Peace, He's called. And so the story of the Christ child, very simple, beautiful story. We might think about it as being long ago and in a place strange to us. But you know, we could think about it in terms of our own lives, as if He were to come. Wendell Ballou wrote this. I've shared it through the years. Been a while. He was a native of the Appalachian Mountains. He was from Kentucky. And he wrote this story from the perspective of Jake, a mountain shepherd. And listen to it. As if it were Christmas right here in our own mountains. I hear you want to hear the story of that night. Well, I'll tell you, it was a funny kind of night. It was about the time of setting sun, and dark was creeping like a wet wood smoke, when Uncle Sid Logan came hollering at the gate, said he had lost his sheep. 10 ewes and a buck or two had wandered off somewheres, and he couldn't find them nowhere. My woman was coming up from the barn. This is 100 years ago. We used to call our wives my woman. Some would even say my old woman, but we're not going there. My woman was coming up from the barn. She had been milking. I asked her if she seed them. She said, no, neither one of us has seed them. Uncle Sid hung his head, waved an arm like a limp dish rag, and wandered away through the snow. It was an awful loss to him. 10 ewes and a buck or two. It was awful cold. The snow had been coming for 2 or 3 days. It sure would be hard to track sheep. Besides, Uncle Sid had a real tough year. His old woman was sick of bed, and he was getting pretty near 90. He was an old man. The snow was tossing like feathers in a hen house, but a man's got to help his neighbor. So I says to my woman, I'll wander over the mountain and get Bert and Lige and go find them sheep. Bert and Lige weren't doing nothing no how. Bert hollered up his collie Shadow and we set out looking for them sheep. It was a funny kind of night. The snow stopped falling. And the dark was kind of clear, like there was a light shining, except there wasn't no stars or moon. You could see a snow hanging heavy on a spruce pine. The holly bushes was all spraddled out with snow bearing down on them. We tramped through that snow and cold with our noses running and our ears aching from the chill. Every once in a while we'd stop, and me or Lige or Bert would holler, sheep! Sheepy! Sheep! An old Shadow would bark and run around in circles. And we went over the mountain, across the ridge, and down the other side where the mountain benches out. Long about the place where Everett Christman's store is. You know the place. That's Everett's store, a house and a barn, and there's another house or two about. Everett's girl, her old man, and the Johnson family. You know who I'm talking about. You know where it is. We started down toward Everett's to search that laurel thicket behind the barn of his, and when all of a sudden, like old Shadow, started barking and circling, and we knowed he had found something there in the midst of those trees and rocks was the sheep. And they was all huddled down in the cold. I guess they'd have died if we hadn't have found them there. We circled them, and Lige picked up one little feller too weak to walk, and we was getting ready to head back over the mountains, and Bert says, "You know, this sure is a funny kind of night." The words had no more flew out of his mouth than all of a sudden, like, there was a ball, a gold ball of light coming out of the place where the morning sun sets up. Only it wasn't the sun or moon or anything like that. It lit up the sky, and it just stood there in the middle of the sky, a-dropping its light. And all the fields were gold, and the trees were shimmering gold, and the sheep was lumps of gold, and Everett Creasman's store got gold, and his barn was burning gold. I don't know what done it. But me and Bert and Lige was just drawn to that barn of Everett Creasman. We ran across the field through the snow. We flung open the barn doors where Everett always kept his cow and horse and mule, and there was standing Everett's cow and horse and mule. And over in the corner of the barn where Everett pitched the hay, there was a man standing and a little woman sitting holding a fresh-born youngin'. It was a funny kind of night. The little baby wasn't much bigger than a logger's hand, and the new mama had wrapped him up in a horse blanket. And he looked pretty much like any other baby, except he was born in a stable. But he weren't like no other youngin'. Me and Bert and Lige, we just fell to our knees in front of him, because we knew in our hearts who he was. The little baby was the Son of God. All at once, there was something singing, like 1,000 people singing, like a world of birds singing, and water singing, and wind singing. There was a ringing, like 1,000,000 bells a ringing. Like every bell on earth was ringing. Bells are ringing. People singing. Glory to God in the highest. And the people sung and the bells rung. Peace on earth. Peace. The people was singing and the bells was ringing. A child is born. A son is given. The people sang and the bells rung. It was like the whole earth was singing and ringing. And me and Bert and Lige, we knowed for sure and certain this was the Son of God. Well, that's how it was that night. Me and Bert and Lige carried Uncle Sid's sheep and told him and Aunt Maddie about the baby. And Aunt Maddie allowed that she'd been expecting something like this was going to happen. Uncle Sid shouted hallelujah all over the hill, and me and Bert and Lige went home, but I ain't never been afeard of the dark since that night I saw the light. The dark's a-creeping like a wet wood smoke, but the light of the world has come. See, it just happened, something like that. Can you put yourself in the Christmas story? The true story of Christmas did not end on that night long ago. It's a story ever new with its telling. It's a never-ending story, ever sending out the message to the scattered men and women and boys and girls. God is gathering all into Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ. The miracle that night that God brought to the earth is still an unfinished miracle. Because God intended that story include not only the gathering of those shepherds and the magi, but also that everyone would kneel before Christ and be changed. You and me, and every person on the face of this earth, hither and thither and yonder. To me as a Christian and as a preacher, God has laid this. Hold forth the story of the good news of Jesus Christ. And say to everyone, come to Christ. The people you know, the people you don't know, the people you see, the people you don't see. Everyone, come to Christ. As you repent of your sins and believe in the good news of Jesus Christ and live a life committed to Jesus Christ all your days, accept Him into your heart, because God is gathering His people. He is readying Himself for that final day. The accounts, your account, my account, there's a time to kneel down before God and settle your old account with the Lord. Bring it to Him. Confess to Him and ask Him to come into your life. You bring your soul to God, your whole self, everything in you to Him, and give it to Him. Do you remember? Do you remember when you accepted Christ as your Savior? Do you remember the moment? Do you remember the time? Do you remember when you asked Jesus to be your Savior? You might have been broken down with your sin, afraid. You remember what happens when Jesus comes into your life? You remember the peace? You remember the joy? Father, we thank You for Your Word. And we thank You, God, that this Word is not just an old dusty book long ago, disregarded maybe by many. It still holds the key of our existence and our life. In Him, we will find peace. And we'll find a loving God and a merciful God. In Him, we'll find the key to our purpose in life. God, whoever we are and whatever we do, whatever we're about, we're also a messenger. Just as sure as those angels were messengers to the shepherds, just as sure as the shepherds were messengers to the people as they went back into their town, we have that same message. We thank You, God, that You're with us and that You're still gathering. We're glad to gather today. And may God, anyone today who God is ready in their life to make a step toward Christ, we just pray that God will feel the overwhelming love of Christ in our heart, and we'll just step out and give it to Him. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing a hymn, a great hymn. The Savior is waiting. He's still waiting. Let's stand together as we sing. The Savior is waiting. And I invite you, as the Lord would speak to your heart today, to come.
Now